spin me like I have already spoken, like a spoke holds its tension. Like it's together that the spokes are the invention of a wheel, that a wheel is only as round as its tension, that a wheel is a round invention. She gets on her bicycle.
Good morning, Smithers. You're listening to Totally Spoked on CSCK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. And I'm your host, Christine Bruce. In the background, you're hearing Evelyn Perry singing She Rides. In this episode, we'll ask the question, what's wrong with cyclists that they can't follow the rules of the road? For the next few episodes, my focus is on safety, and that means for everyone who's sharing road space. Matt Beadle, one of the leaders of the brand new Smithers group BB Velo, will join me at a local coffee shop to talk about road safety and what it means to their group. Ready? Go get your walking shoes, your bicycle, your skateboard, your snowshoes, whatever active transportation mode you choose, and let's set out. Personal soundtrack. So Matt, welcome to Totally Spoked. I'm feeling really lucky that we met that one spring day, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say today.
Yeah, likewise. I'm excited too and glad you wandered over across the field to introduce yourself that day when we were riding our bikes.
You know what? I think we've gotten not as good at community building as we used to be, and you got to kind of get over that. Should I? Could I?
Yeah, I agree.
You are one of the masterminds behind the new road bike group, BV Velo. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I guess the impetus started, it kind of starts with me as a kid not having a bike club and wanting to be a cyclist. I grew up in a town in Alaska and there was a small bike club, but there were no youth. I was the only kid on a bike zooming around trying to be like Greg LeMond, and I went to the local events and the adults were supportive, but there was nothing there for youth. And so that's where it started. And then now, after doing a bike tour last year with my family, my kids are really into it and they wanted something like that. So that was kind of the big push. And then I chatted with some local friends, Denise Kelly and Gavin Kirkpatrick, back in December, and they were like, yep, you bet, let's do this.
So cool.
That's really the impetus behind it.
Do you know what I love about this town is that almost everything is on the backs of volunteers, mm-hmm. and we're starting to win awards. We're getting recognized locally and nationally for people starting things, yeah. initiatives. It's pretty cool to live here.
For sure.
Well, thank you for doing that, because I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there who are really grateful to have this program. So how are you finding the roads here? You're from Alaska, so is there something to compare this to? And is safety ever an issue when you're out on the roads?
Yeah, it's a great question. So my background, again, I was born and raised in Juneau, Alaska, but then I lived in Montana. I lived in Boulder, Colorado, kind of a hotbed for cycling in North America, doing a graduate degree. I lived in Salt Lake City, lived in Prince George, lived in Terrace, and cycling in all of these locations. And I've found cycling in Smithers to be one of the best experiences in all of North America, quite frankly. Just as an example, I was on a ride with my son yesterday evening. We went out Old Babine up to Billiter, and all the drivers, bar none, gave us heaps of room, slowed down, were very respectful. We were single file way to the side, and they were still giving us loads and loads of space. And I feel like that's been the norm ever since I've been here.
Now, my experience is similar to yours, but I have to say that I've always made the assumption that a big part of why drivers are giving me space and being respectful is that I'm doing the same to them. I'm not riding in the middle of the road. I'm communicating with them clearly. I think that really helps a lot. And so if you give bad, you're likely to get bad back. But if you get good, you're much more likely to get the good in return, right?
Oh, I totally agree. And I'm a big proponent in advocating amongst my family and cycling friends and our cycling club to, like, you know, wave to the motorists, acknowledge that they're giving you that space, right? Give them a friendly wave. And I think that goes a long way. It's just that, yeah, that subtle nonverbal communication, the eye contact, the waves, that, hey, I recognize you, you recognize me, we're sharing this space. Thanks for following the rules.
I think it's really important to be seen and to let others be seen. I think that's significant when you wave to somebody and acknowledge that they're there and that you're sharing space with them.
Yeah.
And I love being able to do that, because people come up to me on the street and they talk to me afterwards, and I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
But we've already shared something.
Right?
Now, when you're on these rides with your son, with the group, do you teach road safety, like learning the rules of the road and etiquette? Are those important in the group?
Oh, hugely so. And I would say they're actually number one. And starting from the beginning of our group rides this spring, that's what myself, Denise, and Gavin, fellow ride leaders, have always spoke about. Number one is keeping us safe on the road, managing the group, riding on the road responsibly. And we have a number of people that aren't as confident on their bikes and on their roads that come out, and we want to teach them and inform them so that our group, when we're riding together, can be as safe as possible, and so that we're not impeding motorists and that we're safe in and around motorists on our roads.
Do you find that teaching somebody the rules of the road makes them more confident?
Oh, for sure.
Because I found that when I was trying to make left-hand turns mm-hmm. and I wasn't aware mm-hmm. that I could take the lane because I'm going to turn left, and I acknowledge that I'm taking the lane and I make sure that everybody sees what I'm doing, suddenly I'm a lot more confident on the road because I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But I'm also acknowledging that other people are giving me space. Whereas if I was still in the right-hand bike lane, I'd be at everybody's mercy, and I don't feel confident there.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, and I think that helps with newer cyclists to come out on our group rides and to see how we're handling those situations, particularly as we leave town or come back into town and are dealing with more traffic, where we don't encounter much of it out on the quiet gravel roads in town. Yeah, it's busy. And I think for new cyclists to see that and be a part of that and have it demonstrated, and then they can also practice it, yeah, is fantastic and is what's really necessary. Seeing and then chatting with newer cyclists and realizing how much I've kind of taken for granted after a lifetime of riding a bike. I take for granted signaling or stopping or modulating speed or where I should be in the lane when. And it's nice to see that from a beginner's perspective, to realize how much there is to learn. And I think it's important for motorists too to realize that we're processing a lot and trying to be as safe as possible and putting ourselves in the right location for safety and legality and comfort. Anyway, so there's a lot going on, and yeah, it's a big part of what we do in our rides.
There is a lot going on. Now, I was going to come to this later, but I think I'll bring it up now. There's one rule of the road that I find in Smithers drivers break regularly, and that is giving up your right of way. That drives me crazy because I know you're trying to be nice to me, but it actually puts a lot of people in danger, so I'm all about safety. So when I refuse you giving me your right of way, it's not because I'm a jerk. It's because I know somebody on the road that's sharing space with us right now doesn't know what you're doing, and they may change their behavior because they're not aware of what's happening.
Yep.
And so if we all follow the right-of-way rules of the road properly, nobody gets put in a dangerous position.
That's right.
Right.
And I'm the same way. So that happened to me this morning riding my bike to work. I'm coming on 2nd across Main, where it's a four-way stop. We all stop, it's easy, and then you come to Queen and it's a two-way stop and the others have the right of way. And motorists are almost always stopping and wanting me to go. And I appreciate the kindness there, but yeah, that is not following the rules, and I will stop there and I will wave you to go because you have the right of way, and I'm trying to ride to the rules. I'm also trying to teach my kids to ride by the rules, to ride predictably. Also, when you're stopping and waiting and giving me the right of way, someone on the coming in the other direction, they might not be aware of that, likely aren't aware of that, and that's a hazard then to me.
Yeah. To the other drivers,
and
right?
The other drivers.
It's
for
a
sure.
hazard to everybody on the road. We're
totally.
All sharing space, and you as you say, you all have to be predictable.
Yes.
Otherwise, there's confusion, and that's not a good thing to have in the middle of a roadway.
For sure.
Obviously, Matt and I are in agreement when it comes to road safety for everyone, because Matt was born in the States. I wanted to pick his brain about a rule that I follow regularly. It originated in Idaho, and it's called the Idaho Stop. So, Matt, speaking of rules of the road that you're teaching to your group, there's one in particular that I think is significant right now, and that is, do you come to a full stop?
The rules of the road in BC are that, yes, you must come to a full stop.
And yet there's the Idaho Stop, which I often practice
right.
when there's nothing else coming.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, the Idaho Stop gets its name from the state of Idaho, which was the first to approve this. And an Idaho Stop is where cyclists are allowed to use a stop sign as a yield sign and a red light as a four-way stop. Now, with the stop sign and the yield, what you can do in these places, there's a number of states, 8 or 9 in the U.S. that approve this, and some other municipalities that do as well. The cyclist is supposed to a lot, not quite coming to a stop, looking in all directions, making sure it's safe, and then continuing on your way or turning. And the reason why this is safer is that bikes and cyclists have a hard time picking up speed, right? So when they come to a full stop and then they have to regain their pedal stroke and get back up to speed, they are in that intersection, in that zone of potential conflict for much longer.
And if you already have the momentum, then it's very quick for you to get through the intersection, right?
Another thing is, too, that cyclists have far more visibility. We can hear things going on far better than a motorist can. We don't have glass and metal cage surrounding us that blocks our vision. We can see things far better. So if we slow down and we can look in all situations and then proceed, it's actually safer. And so some cyclists who are here in the Bulkley Valley have that context. They've been in places where that's legal before and they've seen the benefit of that. However, because of recent controversy, we at BV Velo have decided when we're leaving town, we're exiting town, we're going to come to a full stop. We're going to ride by the letter of the law. The danger with the Idaho stop is that if you're not informed about it, is that people will think, oh, I can just blow through stop signs without slowing down. And that's definitely not the case. The idea is, again, you treat it as a yield sign. You slow down, look in all directions, and proceed with caution.
So you're going for a full stop in order to give the message to people in cars, pedestrians, that your group is being very Teutonic about the rules of the road now.
Yes, for sure. We're trying to follow the letter of the law, and we're trying to teach that in our group.
So when you come to a full stop, foot down, everything?
Foot down.
Okay.
When you're doing a track stand there balancing, it's a little difficult for motorists to know, okay, what's this person going to do?
Right. Exactly.
So it's very clear. You put your foot down, I'm stopping, and then proceed.
Okay. Well, I admire you for going to that extra length, and I hope the message gets across soon, because an Idaho stop is very convenient and very safe, and I am all about being safe.
I agree.
With any advocacy project, I try to do my research. I'm never going to understand a problem if I can't see it from multiple sides. And I like to see how others are tackling the situation. One of my favorite resources is the library. As I pointed out a few episodes back, our Smithers Library doesn't have many books on cycling advocacy. So I bought a few books that over the years have become Bibles on how to engage, and I've had my nose deep in those books this month. I've also had a few books donated to my work, and was pretty chuffed to see that the Cycle Chic book given to me was a signed copy. Goodreads describes Cycle Chic as a colorful compendium that offers snapshots from around the world of everyday riders who are redefining bike fashion and emphasizing the accessibility and fun of riding a bicycle. The author, Michael Colville Anderson, is a Canadian-Danish urban designer and urban mobility expert. Born in Fort McMurray, Alberta, Colville Anderson is known for his philosophy about simplifying urban planning and urban cycling, and how cities should be designed instead of engineered. He also wrote a book called Copenhagenize, the other book I've been reading. It's described as the definitive guide to global bicycle urbanism, where the bicycle is described as the single most important tool for improving our cities. This truly was a Bible for me, giving me confidence that active transportation does have a lot of benefits for our community. And if we build dedicated infrastructure, just like we're beginning to do, it will improve our town in so many ways. Just think, for instance, if an 8-year-old could ride their bicycle to school. That would reduce the congestion at King and Third. It would address the incorrect perception that kids are no longer safe, when the real danger here are the cars, which we're using to transport our kids to school. And it would ensure that the kids get some exercise, interact with their surroundings, feel independence, and become more confident. I want all these benefits for my town. I've donated both of these books to our library. Summer's a great time to catch up on your reading, isn't it? You know what to do. Go get your library card.
If there's a listener-supported radio station, it means that people can get
daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world. Not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture. Different understanding, but a different picture, a different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, and you can learn something, and so on. Well, that's the way people become human. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
A food security podcast is simmering that asks the question, what's the food system you want to eat from?
So what is the food system that I would want to eat from? It's delicious, it's fun, it's wildly diverse, and it's not just people at the table. I think it also has to include like our non-human friends and kin. So it basically just looks like a menagerie, but and it's loud and boisterous. Think circus. I think that's my vision, is like the craziest food circus you've ever seen.
Tempest in a Stockpot comes out of the oven fall 2025. You are listening to Totally Spoked on CICK 93.9 FM, and I'm Christine Bruce. Before the break, Matt Beadle and I were discussing the importance of learning and following the rules of the road. Like everything we do in society, it matters to have good etiquette, to communicate clearly, to be predictable, respectful of the fact that there are others on the road sharing space with us. How we engage with our community there is always going to have an impact. Will they be glad they met us at that intersection? Or are we frustrating them by acting arbitrarily? Again and again. She gets on a bicycle, she gets on a bicycle, she gets on a bicycle, she rides. I want to explore the notion of knowing the rules of the road a little more. Recently, another road user complained on social media that a group of riders were riding five abreast and making it impossible to share the road properly. You addressed that complaint gently on Facebook, encouraging people on bicycles to be aware of their impact on other road users. I really admired you for that. But also, I was glad that the conversation continued and that it was respectful on all sides.
Yeah, and I think I wanted to approach that in a couple of ways. One, I didn't want to engage with this, frankly, morass of hurtful comments on social media. And the discourse there just gets bitter and angry so easily. And I wanted to address it in a different way, but I also felt that our club needed to respond to that. And I think to begin with, I hope that we in the Bulkley Valley and in the Smithers can approach these things and other disagreements from a space of a bit more grace, a bit more acceptance, and a fair bit more patience. With cyclists on the road, we have all different types of cyclists. Some are just learning. Some are experts who've been around the block for a long time. Same with motorists, right? So we're all trying to do our best. And I think if we can all firstly approach it, yeah, with a bit more patience and humility and grace, I think that would be a great starting point.
I also think these moments are a good reminder to long-term riders, because I do watch long-term riders break the rules of the road regularly. I think they're just not aware they're doing it. I think it's normalized that you go the wrong way around a traffic circle, or that you don't worry so much about whether somebody has the right of way, or you just take somebody's right of way if they offer it to you. I mean, there are moments on the road where I think, okay, are you really paying attention to what you're doing? And I think these moments are really good reminders to all of us. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this post, and it really connects a lot to how our biking community is utilizing our quiet, generally quiet gravel roads. And we are out there because, by and large, we don't want to be near motorists. We want to avoid cars at all costs. That's why we're on the quiet, generally quiet gravel roads. On those gravel roads, we do have other challenges that we're looking out for as well, like deep gravel, potholes, like things that we are trying to manage as well. And that then impacts our line choice and what we're doing. We, of course, need to do that with also including looking over our shoulders and making sure it's safe to do so and signaling our intentions. But it would be great if motorists knew and were aware that we're trying to navigate this space safely as well, and we have these other hazards that maybe aren't as readily apparent to a motorist in a truck who, you know, rolling over the deeper gravel or that big pothole or whatever isn't as big of an issue.
Especially if you're going up and down hills, right? If there's a pothole or when a road really needs to be graded, you're trying to find the best route up that hill or down that hill.
Yeah, and that's not to say that we can weave all over the road. That's definitely not the case. But especially if we're trying to navigate a space in a group at different speeds, yeah. we're gonna try to pick a lane that's the safest, both considering the roadway and motorists and our group.
Yeah. Understandable. And I think this is a really valuable conversation because you're giving us an insight into what it's like to be in a group riding and your reasonings. And cyclists and people on bicycles and people in cars are all people, but they're just in different situations at that moment. And it's really helpful to be aware of what's happening on the road.
And that's a great point. I think being a cyclist makes me a better driver and a more attentive driver and a safer driver. I think the same would be said if I was a, I don't know, if I was a skateboarder or, right, if we participated in these other activities or had a little more familiarity with how those other users use our paths and roadways, bike paths, crosswalks, whatever, that would make us all better motorists.
Right. One thing I will add was I was reminded in my research this week that it was the National Wheelmen's Association that got roads paved in the first place, not drivers.
Okay, I have no idea.
So people on bicycles have done people in cars a big service. And that's probably not the only one, but it's a huge one in my opinion.
Sure.
Okay, here's, I'm sort of saying this already, but I think maybe this needs to be said again. This has always been a bugbear for me, and you've probably noticed that I stopped. I said cyclists, and then I went back and said people on bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying really hard with this element, this section of Totally Spoked, to make people aware that it's people. It doesn't matter. We're not. Let's not make it an us versus them conversation.
Yep.
It's a people conversation.
Yep.
It's not really fair because it's the person on the bike, it's the person in the car, it's the person on foot, depending on the situation. We don't have multiple personalities. The person who breaks the rules on a bike is often equally likely to break the rules in a car. So let's all back away from, those cyclists as a global, universal, bad group.
For sure.
Or those drivers, they're universally bad.
Yep.
They're us.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's try and take a breath and be aware of what we're looking at here properly.
Yeah.
I see the notion of sharing the road as a dance. I think this is something that I have wanted to share with people for a long time, but I see things in images.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watch people at an intersection and how they communicate with each other, how they respect each other. It's a dance. So there are rules to follow in any dance, so things go according to plan. Everybody has to follow the basic set of principles in order for the dance to succeed. But when they do, the resulting pattern is elegant and beautiful, and it makes everybody happy. So the same goes for the dance of sharing the road. There's an elegance to right-of-ways and being confident of what another road user will do when the rules are followed. We're all happy to be there. I don't want to frustrate somebody using another mode of transportation. I want us all to get from A to B safely and happily. But we're also all equally unhappy when somebody does something that we didn't expect. Do you find that? Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah, and I think it all comes back to predictability, right? Being predictable, riding predictably, and to do so, we have to adhere to a commonly understood set of rules, but also, I think, have that awareness about what the other's doing, what speed the other person's going back to the dance analogy, right? At what rate is this person moving? How quickly do they turn left and right?
And the other thing is, I took some lowland, not like my daughter was a Highland, Scottish Highland dancer, but I took some lowland lessons once.
Mm-hmm.
You spend a lot of time looking at the other people, right? You're acknowledging that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important that we're on the road with people. It's not just a Mazda. There's a person driving the Mazda, right? So we need to acknowledge. I agree with you. Wave at them. Thank them for what they've done. You know, wish them a nice day.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you have to have a conversation, I mean, I have called a few people up, but I've done it as gently as I could. Hi, that was a little dangerous. Do you think you could give me a little more space? Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So that brings me to the other reputation that I have. I'm not only the person who will tell you, no, you have to take your right of way. But I am a good communicator. I do make eye contact. I signal my intent really clearly. I think this is something that smithereens generally are getting bad at. They don't signal until they're in the turn, and then it's too late to tell me. I don't need to know while you're turning.
Yeah, for sure.
And I greet people and try to treat everyone like a person. So do you think that good communication is important when you're sharing the road in a group? I mean, I'm not saying communication just within your group, but with everyone on the road,
right?
Oh,
gosh, communication is probably paramount and probably number one. In terms of, I mean, I guess number one between cyclists and motorists is hand signals, right? Turn signals, stopping signals, which are rarely used.
Yeah.
In our group, we're constantly pointing things out. We're pointing out hazards. We're calling out whether we're slowing. We're calling out whether we're stopping in addition to our hand signals. In some situations, it's important to know that it's dangerous for us cyclists to remove our hands from the bars. Let's say it's a gravel corner. Right, I'm going to signal well ahead of that, and then I got to put my hands back on the bars to make that corner. So understanding how we communicate and when we communicate is really key. But yeah, communication is huge.
I think that demonstrates an affection between you and the people that you're taking out and training how to be good people on the bikes.
Yeah, for sure.
I have been reading a lot of. People are graduating right now, right? And there's a lot of comments about, boy, I had such a good teacher, and years later I've retained all that respect that teacher taught me and all those lessons. I think this is one of those moments where you're instilling a lot of good about riding a bike on the road.
Well, it's kind of you to say, and I'm hopeful that that's the case, and we're working at that.
Well, I appreciate it. It's good for you and your group, but it's also really good for Smithers.
Oh,
it's good for everybody.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Now, is there anything else you wanted to say, Matt?
Maybe if I could just give a plug for our
club.
You can find us at BV Velo. We're on Facebook right now. We're in the process of creating a website that's going to be coming online soon. We advertise our group rides on Strava and on Facebook. And everyone's welcome to come out. They're on Wednesday evenings at 5, starting from McBike, and Sunday mornings at 9, starting from McBike. On Wednesdays, we do a shorter couple-hour ride. And then on Sundays, we do a longer, easier, cruisier ride. All different levels are welcome.
Any style of bike welcome? Or do you particularly encourage?
In general, we're looking for folks that are keen for kind of gravel rides, right? So, with an ability to go, 40 kilometers on a Wednesday evening or up to 70 kilometers on a Sunday morning kind of thing, efficiently. So like a full suspension mountain bike where, you could do that on a full suspension mountain bike, it would be tough to keep up with the group. So while we don't want to limit the bikes people can use, some kind of a gravel or a touring bike is best.
But if you're fast on a fat bike, show up on your fat bike, right?
Yeah, come ride with us. Totally. There are some fast fat bikers out there.
Thank you.
What's your experience on the roads in Smithers? I'd love to hear your take on what we discussed. You can call the CICK station at 250-847-8769 and leave a message. Meanwhile, watch for me riding around town. And so ends another episode of Totally Spoked on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. I'm Christine Bruce, and I'm so glad you've joined us. My thanks to Matt Beadle of BV Velo for joining me for a coffee to talk about safety on the roads. Matt carries a lifetime of experience navigating roads all across North America, and he articulated both the laws and his experience clearly. Matt and I agreed that it does no one any favors when you act unpredictably in traffic, confusing others and making them guess your next move. I urge everyone, regardless of your vehicle, to signal well in advance of a turn. Resist the temptation to give up your right of way. Communicate clearly your intentions, and most importantly, to thank everyone you're sharing the road with. Many of those people are your neighbors, after all. And the journey should be just as satisfying an experience as the arrival at your destination. In the next episode, it's road construction season. Yes, that's frustrating to have to go around it, to have dust and noise, the smell of tar of a newly paved road, all the inconvenience, yikes! And yet, the end result of the Princess Street upgrades is a world-class multi-use pathway. I've invited Councillor Jen Patterson to talk about the Princess Street upgrades in 2 weeks. See you then, active transportation bunnies!